Hello, this is Jay Nemro, and this is another, yet another, a long string of recordings from quasi-indefatigable Xenolith recordings. Sorry, I was adjusting temperature here. I am on the road, as always, going toward the Ag Science Center in Columbus, which chews up a lion's share of my time. These wonderful folks. Bringing in all these new people, all these computers, yada, yada, yada. I struggle often. I think on one of these recordings quite a while ago, at the time when it was happening, I was frustrating over circumstance that happened at church. I really ripped into a kid. I'm going to do a little status report. I have seen this kid. This guy, shall I be kinder, this young man, once, it was at a funeral, didn't say anything to him, not interested. I'm sure he wasn't interested in talking to me either. I get reports every now and then, and I find myself getting less and less sorry for what I said to him. Not that I don't still feel badly, but can I be honest? I was right. It's important that people know where they're headed to. You know, trying to sugarcoat things is always, disingenuous to somebody that you're really trying to help. And that was the spirit I went into it to do. Anyway, let me give you an update upon this guy who will continue to remain nameless if I can pull it off. Sometimes I can't pull it off. I end up blurting out their name. Hopefully not their full name, so you really can't pin them down. Anyway, he was a person to tell you all his great plans, what he was planning on doing, and it all sounded very good. You know, and it all sounded like that he had his stuff together, you know, and that, well, his ostensive thing was always to give you the look like you were a boob and you were an idiot. And that the fact that you were in an advisory position to him just kind of was like, well, gee whiz, man, you could have gotten me a better advisor type of a attitude. And just pointless. Pointless garbage. Because everything that he was planning on doing, he hasn't done anything. You know, and I'm certain that I am one of a list of people who are blamed for the fact that he blames. I've talked to his mother, and she thinks well of me. She said so. So I'm going to take her word for it, because it makes me feel better. You know, he hasn't done any of the things that he planned. And I think I tried to be encouraging of the things he was planning on doing. I wanted him to do those things. I was impressed that he had those ideas. I think, ultimately, what he was doing was simply just saying that to get people off of his back. You know, he was sophisticated enough to say, well, at least I know what they want to hear. And it's like, you know, and I thought that for a minute he might have been kind of being sort of honest. And maybe he thought he was. Maybe he was trying. But it didn't get there. It didn't happen. At least not so far. When I left him, he was just barely turning 16. How many years have passed? Probably about... maybe almost a year has passed. Haven't seen him. Except for that one time, and that was just kind of... We were in the same room, didn't speak. I don't think we even made eye contact. He hasn't been in my presence. Haven't come to church. That was really the only setting in which we ever came together. I am told that he stays in his room. Perhaps playing games all day long. On his little game console. Sad. Sad, pointless existence. When I've said in the past that I want people to be productive, not be consumptive. You know, that, I think that's one really excellent thing to do. Because he's being a consumer, you know. He is a consumer of gaming products. You know, I'm sure he eats food. You know, apparently he doesn't get out much. School is totally lost to him. I think... you know, you could call him a dropout because I guess he's kind of homeschooled. I think his mom has given up on the homeschooling. You know, he's still technically homeschooled, but I don't know how much actually happens there. And I guess that's just to make it so he doesn't look so bad, that he doesn't look like just a dropout. And I don't mean from school. I think dropping out from school is actually kind of an honorable thing to do if you decide to do better things with your time. Now, he's a dropout from reality. So I don't think it's a good thing to do at all. Because it's not doing something better instead. You know, school has very little to do with improving the mind. You know, it really, you know, it's really so much of participating in a program. There's really not much you're doing. Of course, you know, they have homework and stuff like that. You're doing something. But it's just so much busy work. You know, it doesn't really point to anything. College is a bit better, can be a bit better. But, you know, I can remember myself both in high school and teaching high school, trying to teach high school. I wasn't being a teacher, and I'm glad. I will never be one of those kinds of teachers. I'm the kind of person who says, hey, you know, if you really don't have any incentive to be here, why are you here? I would do much better as a college instructor. In something in which I am passionate. I think I would have to be at a liberal arts school as opposed to like a state university or something like that. You know, I would really have to go for a particular job, lecturing on a particular subject, and with the purpose of being passionate about what I'm passionate about. I did a Life Autistic episode on what I'm passionate about. Some of the facets of home economics. Now, home economics is an awfully broad field. But then again, I am somewhat of a passionate generalist. In that, I don't talk about just one subject. You know, I don't have just one very isolated passion. I have many, and my greatest passion is in the interconnectedness of things. That's why when I tend to call myself anything at all in relation to what I hope to be my true nature, it tends to be a philosopher. Because I'm tending to try to understand and go for ultimate truth. And so when I get into the sordid world of people who have no interest in that, I take my religion very seriously. When I'm in a group of people who don't, who are just doing it to please their parents, who are just doing it this way or that way, I'm not, you know, I don't have much respect for them. Now, I know you're supposed to love and be kind to people because they're children of God, just like you are. But you know what? It's difficult when people go, oh yeah, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, yada, 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 and I'm living my life, and God has little into nothing to do with my life. I don't allow it. Because that's what it ultimately comes down to. God wants to have a lot to do with your life. He wants to be an integral part of your life, but in doing that, but that's a choice you make, not a choice he makes. It's, do you let him into your life? Do you let him help you? I was thinking this morning. So I, for one, or last night, I, for one, want to have access. I want to be informed by the wisest person available, the wisest person I can be connected to. And I'm in great shape there, because, and everybody's in great shape that way, because we can be connected to God. Now, you can't be cocky with him for a second. You can't be cocky with him for a second, because he's a God, you're not. And he's a God because he's smarter, wiser, more experience. Everything that's good, he's better at than you are. There is no point at which you can take a swat at God and it connects. There just isn't one. If you think you're smart, if you think you've come up with something that God hasn't already considered to the nth degree, if you think any of that, you're wrong, because God has. Just through dead time, among other things, among just being able to see things from a better vantage point than we have. In the whole realm of what's important and what's not important, God's got us trumped every time. Orders of magnitude. Better equipped to know the right thing to do in every situation. So it just makes sense to avail yourself of that. And not to say, oh no, I'm not going to listen to what God says because God doesn't have any bearing on this. And you go, oh please, I think God has something intelligent to say on every single subject we can cook up. I think he's got the smartest, wisest perspective on everything. Someday I want to be like him. I see that. I see this whole thing of being the wisest and the smartest and all those things as being his defining attribute. I don't know what God did for money when he lived in his mortality. I don't know. It doesn't matter. That's why when you say, well, it's important to have work, and you go, yes, he says, but I want to do a certain kind of work. And you go, well, you want to do something that's honest, and you want to do something that's upright. And, you know, it's always smart to do something for which you have skill and which you're well-suited toward. So, but, you know, in the outcome, it isn't just lawyers that become God. It isn't just carpenters or, you know, one profession or another. It really isn't. It has to do with, you know, the whole point of godliness is those things I was talking about. Experience, perspective, that breeds his sort of wisdom, which trumps all, trumps everything. So I'm working toward that. So, you know, if I had my perfect dream job for which I thought I was best suited, it would be, I think it would be lecturing at a liberal arts college. And this, because you want those kinds of people. You want that kind of a life. You know? I do research, but it tends to be all over the place. Yesterday, I was researching ultralight backpacking. It is certainly an area of research, study, and experience that I think has a lot to show for itself. What is really needed? It speaks to the whole idea of what's necessary and what's not. What you really need to have and what's really kind of superfluous. When you're ultralight backpacking, it isn't just a question of how much everything weighs and getting that pared down as small as you can. But it's also to what you take, not just how much it weighs. I mean, you can take every single article that you would normally take backpacking that would normally weigh 50 pounds. And you can get light variations on it and get it down to maybe 30. But I think the real exciting part of ultralight backpacking is in the wise choosing of what exactly do you need. Now, you still want that stuff to be lightweight, but it's also like, okay, do you really need to pack a full first aid kit, you know? Or what things do you really need? What do you reasonably expect to encounter, plus what emergency things would really keep you from coming out of, down off of that trail alive? And you focus on those things. And then you go ahead and live that life. It's almost like a study in what it was like to be John the Baptist. He went out into the desert, he ate desert food, he ate locusts and honey, because I guess that was what was available to him. He just wore clothes of the animals that were present in that place. You know, now, there was a lot more to John the Baptist than that, for instance, but that was certainly a component of it. This was a different man. He didn't spend his time doing what most people would do. He didn't have a profession. His mother took him off to the wilderness, and they just lived out there in the boonies. That's what they did. you know? And he learned how to do that. And that speaks to me in a way. It really does. I think when I get older, that's what I'd like to do. I want to be a liberal arts lecturer. I want to be a doctor of philosophy. And people say, well, a PhD of what? And you go, no, I want to be a doctor of philosophy. Well, in what? And you go, in philosophy. Oh, well, that doesn't make any sense. You have to pick a field. And you go, well, that's fine. I'm not going to pick a field. I'm not interested in that. So anyway, so I imagine that lends itself to certain things. Oh, that brings up, I don't know if he's a new idol, a mentor, whatever. I have met another interesting soul who's doing interesting things along the lines of what interests me. His name is Jaron Lanier. He was actually from New Mexico, strangely enough. He spent a little bit of time in college at New Mexico State University. He dropped out. I'm sorry, most accomplished people, it seems, or at least the more interesting ones, the ones that really come up with the new ideas and are really interesting, they tend to have eschewed college. So it almost makes me say, Jay, don't go back to college because it ultimately isn't going to help you. You need to take another route to getting to this kind of thing. You need to do what Jaron did. Jaron is a musician. Jaron is a, for lack of a better word, a philosopher. He started, he kind of got into virtual reality, and he became kind of the cheerleader of virtual reality. Now, it never really became anything. They came out with some pretty neat little products that never really became terribly successful. It had to do with this thing called virtual reality. He coined the phrase, too, just for fun. And he became something of an icon. Right now, he is a visiting lecturer, at least as far as his biography says. He's a visiting lecturer at, I think, UC Berkeley or something like that. He eventually moved to Berkeley. Those were his kind of people. So, you know, it's kind of sensible that, or that thing, Sausalito, stuff like that. He was kind of in the whole movement of the Co-Evolution Quarterly, Point Foundation, stuff like that. Movers and shakers in a certain field of intellectualism. And it was pretty, you know, and he had his thing. He had his people. And he still operates in that region, and that way of being. Almost makes you want to say that you're going to kind of start out a whole different school. And I might end up wanting to do that. You know, this is the school of this. This is, you know, instead of thinking of my world, my life, my brain as a function of disability, I'm going to go ahead and use it for something beyond what I've used before. I mean, maybe need to do something a little more coherent, a little more together. And I'll tell you what brings me to this. You know, I don't make bad money. I wouldn't be doing this for the money. I hope I'm not doing it for the fame, because I don't think it would make me particularly famous. I would certainly have friends, I think. I would be doing it more because I think it answers my... It's a good use of my material when it gets down to it. I have a job that is really, I feel, beneath my ability. Now, you know, people can say, well, Jay, you're not that great at computers, and I'll concede that readily. I am not that great at computers, but my education is not in computers. I've never taken a class. Everything I've learned about what I know about computers, I've learned through my own private research and my own private work. Now, the things that would make me get better at computers, like programming, for instance, I find myself at a almost like there's a black hole before me. And the first thing I ever say when I say, well, Jay, you know, you need to do some programming, is I say, I don't have anything that sparks my interest to program. I mean, I could do it. Yesterday, I was trying to, you know, I was saying, you know what, the larger internet has kind of subsumed most of the functions that a personal computer was needed for. The computer that we came up with long before you could connect them to each other, you know, that was the kind of programming I used to do. That kind of stuff. Now that's superfluous. You don't need that kind of programming anymore. There's a whole big, wonderful world out there. I've tried to get interested in web programming and stuff like that, but it's just, the nuts and bolts of it just doesn't interest me. I'm interested in bigger things, honestly. And I need to get to those bigger things. Like what I'm doing today, I'm going and I'm moving somebody's data from one place to another. That's my job. That's what I get paid for. Horrible waste of material? Yes. I'm sorry. It's pathetic. Those who find that this kind of work satisfies and fulfills them, ugh, God. How on earth could this work be fulfilling? Except to say, I'm getting enough money that I can do other things. I mean, that's got to be it. I used to watch commercials late at night, and they would have advertisements for, you want to get into the burgeoning field of IT? And you would get this wonderful... You know, and how they approached it was really weird. He goes, I like playing games, I like working with, you know, I like playing with computers, so I got into IT, and it gives me a life, and then they start talking about their lifestyle, which is all about how much money they have and how much free time they have to do what they want, which is really kind of disingenuous, because the higher up you get in IT, the less free time you have, because you're constantly kind of married to this thing, you know. And it really is low level. It's low-level, just crap. Yeah, I can't do this. Yeah, I can't do that. I broke this. Please come fix it. And it's not fulfilling at all. I mean, it's something I think anybody could do. Well, anybody like me could do it. And it does keep the money rolling in, but I would like to do something better, some tire. You know, with my free time, I'd like to accomplish more. I feel starved for experience. And the experience of, the experience of just, because that's where so much learning and wisdom and understanding come from, is from looking at so many things and looking at what they have in common. I'm looking for that commonality. God speaks of, well, Christ does. Christ speaks of things coming together in one great whole. And that's kind of what I'm working toward. Not that I know if I'll ever understand it in this life, but I can see it and see that it's a reality. These things are true. Anyway, this is Jay Nemro. I've reached my destination. It's time to stop. I'll continue to ponder this stuff today. And this is Jay Nemro. Have a great day.